You are listening to BensTorah.com.
On Yontif, I spoke from the pulpit saying why something is usser, and after being referred to a certain tshuva and doing some research, I'm happy that I get to completely rescind and overturn my psak from just a few days ago. And it shows the dynamism and the dynamicness and the vitality and the beauty of Torah, how it's a Torah's Chaim. We're not just living a dead Torah and trying to figure out something from a long time ago. It's mamash a Torah's Chaim with changes and adjustments, and it's burning. It's not just something from the past. So the shaila that was raised to me by our beloved Baal HaKiddushim, Dr. Greenspan, who Baruch Hashem is joining us tonight, raised the question that for our Simchas Torah Kiddush, one of the things that's very helpful for the people who arrange the Kiddush is to take out, if you have many items in the freezer or the fridge on first day of Yontif, and you want to have a hot Kiddush at night, which some shuls do, and you want to be able to warm up in time for the night Kiddush, so you want to take it out from the freezer, the fridge at least, so at least room temperature, so the heating will take will go much more quickly. The question is, could you take things out of the freezer for the second day of Yontif? Could you take something out of the freezer on the first day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif? And I mentioned the psak publicly, and we'll go through it, and we'll see that there's a lot to talk about on both sides of the coin. Let us begin with the general introduction to the Isra of Hachana. Which of the 39 melachas is Hachana on Shabbos to Motzi Shabbos, or one day of Yontif to another day of Yontif? There is no one of the Lama Tess melachas. It's not Usser. It's not a melacha. Hachana is some kind of Isser, presumably an Isser Drabbanan. What's the geder? Why is it Usser? No one explicitly describes what the reason for the Isser is, but it's clear from a number of sugyas, which we'll see right now, and specifically Masechet Shabbos, that there is an Isser of Hachana from Shabbos to Chol, at least. Let's begin in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Matzianes hamitos mileli Shabbos to Shabbos. You're allowed to make the beds on Friday night for Shabbos morning. Avalomi Shabbos motzai Shabbos. But you're not allowed to make the beds on Shabbos day. Let's say you wake up from your nap on Shabbos afternoon at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're not allowed to make your bed, so it'll be ready for you to jump into Saturday night. Again, assuming that their beds were a little bit different than ours, maybe you had to fluff the straw or the hay in the sack so it would be nice and fluffy and comfortable. Our beds are always available and ready for us to jump into. Those beds had to be prepared a little bit. So you could prepare your bed for Friday night or for Shabbos morning, but you can't prepare your bed on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Why not? There's no malach involved. There's just an isra of hachana. That's the primary source. It's a Mishnah for the Isra of Hachana in Mishnayis Shabbos. There's a Braisa, which reflects the same Isra in a different context. This is in source number 2, Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Braisa says the following. Ka'aros, we spoke about this topic a little bit between Mircha Mayav one day this week. Ka'aros She'achol Bahen Arvis, Madichol Le'achol Bahen Shachris. This is a Gemara, a Braisa, which is Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, that your dishes that you use to eat from your Friday night meal, you're allowed to wash all those dishes Friday night and use them Shabbos day. Madichon lechol b'hem shachris. And similarly, shachris madichon lechol b'hem b'tzarayim. Whatever dishes you use for lunch, you're allowed to wash them after lunch to use for shalosh shuris. B'tzarayim madichon lechol b'hem mincha. However, min ha-mincha ve'elach, but if you used dishes shalosh shuris time, Shuv ein madiach. The Braisa says you're not allowed to wash them anymore. The reason is clear, says Rashi. De'ein hadachazu ela l'chol. Why would anybody be washing the dishes in Shalosh Shudas if you're not having any more sudas on Shabbos? Clearly, it's for your malav and malka. It's for Sunday morning breakfast. So that would be hachana, and therefore there'd be an iser of whether it's making the beds, as the previous Mishnah says, or as this Braisa is teaching us in terms of washing the dishes. There's an iser d'rabbanon of preparing.
Does washing include just rinsing off?
Washing includes, I don't want to get into the sugya of rinsing quickly just to make sure it doesn't cake on. I mean, sometimes Rosh Hashanah has a svara that if you're washing something Well, that wouldn't apply after Shalosh Shudas because it's too short. Let's. I don't want to get into that because that's a different sugya. There is important to know an important kula that the Braisa itself delineates in the next in the end of source number two. The Braisa says aval kosos v'kitonios v'tzlochios. Let's assume. Let's talk about cups. Cups mediach v'holeich kol hayom kulo l'fisha in keva l'shtia. People drink all day long. A meal. You sit down with a sauce, a bowl, and a plate at a meal. Those are set meals. But drink, you drink throughout the day. And therefore, since you drink throughout the day, at any time you want, even 3 minutes before the end of Shabbos, you're allowed to wash the cups. Because people drink whenever they want, and there's always drinking happening. People always want a cup of orange juice, a cup of sodas, a cup of seltzer, a cup of water. And therefore, we assume that there's always going to be a need for cups, and therefore you're always allowed to wash your cups. Says the Mishnah Berurah, just while there's a little bit of a side point, but it's an important kula. The Mishnah Berurah says, by the way, that once you're going to be washing your cups, you're allowed to wash all of them, even though you might only need one. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Madich nafil eser kosos vein tzarech ela achas, rosh adiach kula. That's a special kula that applies whenever you need anything for a next meal, you're allowed to wash all of them, even if you'll only need one of them. So let's say, for example, at lunchtime, you're washing dishes for Shalosh Shudas, and for lunch you had 15 people, it's just you and your wife for Shalosh Shudas. You're allowed to wash all 15 dishes after lunch. So that when you're going to have Shalosh Shudas, that romantic Shalosh Shudas with your wife, you could choose any which plate you want of the 15. So it's not like only if I need 15 plates, I could wash 15 plates, but if I only need two, I only could wash two. No. Once you're allowed to wash anything, because you're going to need even one of them later, you can wash as many as you need. That's an important kula, but that again is not our issue. Our issue is specifically, what's the halach of taking, now that we know that there's an issur of hachana in general, and if you need something that day, fine, but if I know that I'm taking out the roast from the freezer, or I'm taking out a challah from the freezer, 5 o'clock on the first day of Yontif, so that it will be thawed out for Motzei Yontif, for an 8:30 meal, a 9 o'clock meal, can I take it out? Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam,
Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro. If you have dishes available, a lot of dishes, do you have to wash, are you allowed to wash the dishes even
great question.
Even if you could use other
so
dishes?
So Dr. Stamman is referring to a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein that we mentioned downstairs one day this week, that if you have a cupboard full of dishes, you have 3 sets. You have a set for Friday night, you have a set for Shabbos lunch, and you have a 3rd set in your cupboard, service for 16 waiting you, clean in the cupboard that hasn't been used in a week. Are you allowed to wash your dishes for lunch for Shalosh Shudas? Says Rav Moshe, yes, you are. I don't care if you have dishes available. There's no halacha that says you have to use all the clean dishes before you use your dirty dishes. So if you are having another meal, if you're going to be having a Shalosh Shudas, you could wash all your dishes from lunch to use that same set of dishes for Shalosh Shudas, even though you have an available, clean set of dishes in the cupboard. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. So it's mutter.
It's nothing in the halacha like washing can. You
have
a big flame, you have a little flame. The
shayla
is whether it's better to write a small flame against, but this is really.
That's a different
sugya,
yeah.
Right.
That's a whole different.
It's not really a
halacha,
it's kind of a.
Yeah, this halacha of hachana you'll see is a relatively lenient dindar abanan as opposed to havara beyantif, which is a real, perhaps a more chamorous dindar abanan, but we're not going to get into that because that's a different sugya. Okay, but let's see what the Shmir Shas Gilchaza, which is what I paskined in Shul on the first day of Yontif, between Mircha Mayriv. The Shmir Shas Gilchaza is talking about Hachana. So he says the more obvious question is what we'll start with, and then he goes to what I underlined, and that is, let's say you finish lunch on Shabbos afternoon, and you have some corned beef left, and you have some chicken left, and you have 2 kugels left, and you have a salad left. Are you allowed to put it into your fridge? You're not serving it for Shalosh Shudas. Shalosh Shudas, you're probably going to have milchiks even. Why are you putting it in your fridge? So you could have leftovers Sunday night for dinner or Monday night for dinner. So is that hachana? So it says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in the source number 4, Perek Chavches, number Peites. Mutil hachzul amekarer or afil tei hahakpa'a, the cell, C-E-L-L, of freezing, otherwise known as a freezer. Shelham Karer of the fridge. Esamachal Shesharu Bigmar Arucha. You're allowed to return foods after the meal. Of course, the reason for that is because you're not preparing for your leftovers on Sunday night or Monday night. You are.
You're preserving it so it shouldn't spoil.
Right, you're preserving right now. You want Shabbos afternoon, it shouldn't spoil. So you want, you're taking care of your needs for the food right now. Not, you're not worried about Sunday, Monday night. You want right now, it shouldn't spoil. Perfect. Now let's go to the point. Aval, I underlined it. Pask is the Shmir Shabbos Kilochasa. And he says, there's so agreed with Shlomo Zalman. Aval ein lahotzi miteha hakpa asha hamekarer. But you're not allowed to remove from the freezer compartment of your refrigerator ochel kafu, frozen food, al menas sheyashir, so that it could thaw out. V'yaroi lachila b'motzei hayom. Oh, what about for motzei, first day, for second day of Yom Tov, which is a tzorach mitzvah? Says the parentheses, afilu l'tzorach sudas yom tiv. Even the tzorach mitzvah, to prepare for your meal on the second night of Yom Tov, it is aser. And this right, Dr. Greenspan, this is what I told you, that is a problem for somebody to take food out of the freezer on the first day of Yom Tov to prepare for the second day of Yom Tov. So Paskin Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa.
So what's Erev Tashila?
Erev Tashila is something very different. That's when it's for going into Shabbos. Going into Shabbos is a different, correct. Not from one day of Yom Tov to another day of Yom Tov. Going into Shabbos is a whole different world, which is going to be much more lenient because of the Erev Tavshilin. And yes, on Erev Tavshilin, going into Shabbos with an Erev Tavshilin, you're correct, that will solve lots of problems. Not only could I take out of a freezer, I could even cook.
Yeah.
For Shabbos, of course. Right, so this is talking about only one day of Yom Tov to another day of Yom Tov. Right. Now, that being said, so Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in his psak, on top of the, you know, in his sefer, you know, he has the halachas on top, and then he has footnotes on the bottom. So this is what he paskins on top. On the bottom, in a different place, in chapter 10, not chapter Chavches, in chapter 10, footnote 33, he brings a nice svara from Shlomo Zalman to maybe suggest why it would be okay, perhaps, to take stuff out of the freezer. But he doesn't end up going with it or adopting this svara that we're going to see. Says Shlomo Zalman a very interesting svara. Let's think conceptually what happens when you take something out of a freezer. What are you doing? Could you describe in a positive term what you're doing when you're taking it out of the freezer?
Exposing it to room temperature.
You're exposing something. So I know if you drop your pants in public, that's, you know, that's illegal because that's exposing yourself.
Kevin.
I'm exposing a chicken to room temperature. What are you doing there?
Nothing. Really doing nothing.
Says Shlomo Zalman, a fascinating svara. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is you're preventing the freezer from doing more act of freezifying. You like that word? Freezifying? Is that a good word?
Yes.
By taking it out of the freezer, you're preventing the freezer from freezifying the food further. And you're just letting the food sort of be in, not this further freezified matzav, but just allow the food to be in its natural matzav, which would be, I guess, if you have a frozen food and it's in that in natural environment, it will just, at some point, thaw out little by little by little by little. Says Shlomo Zalman, therefore you're not the one who's being mechin. The environment is being mechin. The flow of, there's probably some rule, I don't know the rule of physics of all that heat always flows to the lowest state of...
Equilibrates
itself. There's probably some rule in physics like that. Look at what Shlomo Zalman is source number 5. Kan eno elo mafsik es akirur. You're just stopping the coldifying, the freezifying, the refrigeration. Hanasa b'nigud ritzona, which is happening against your will. You don't want it to continue to freeze at this point on the first day in the afternoon. For example, let's say on the first day in the afternoon you had challah in the freezer, which you wanted to use tonight. And guess what? Your freezer breaks. What would you say? Hooray. Perfect timing. I'm so happy. Now my challahs will be thawed out. I'll be able to have a delicious, you know, meal tonight. I would leave it there, right? I have no problem with it there. It's not the situation of the physical presence of my challah in the freezer that I'm unhappy about. It's that I just don't like that it's freezing my food vital when I don't want it frozen anymore. The thawing out happens naturally if I would just leave, if the fridge would break. And similarly, the thawing would happen, you know, would start immediately. So what happens when I do take it out? It's not that my freezer broke, I take it out actively with my hands. I underline this. You're only preventing the freezing that you don't even want. That's all you're doing when you're taking it out. You're not doing anything active or positive. You're just removing something from a freezing situation that you a freezifying that you don't want to be, that you're chalet to be subjected to. What about something? Even though you're not allowed to move things in order for it to be ready, you know, to redesign, move things around so that it could be usable Saturday night. No, it's not like I'm moving. It's not like I'm setting up the chairs on first day of Yom Tov so that the chairs will be set up for Saturday night. He's asking, if you're not allowed to set up the chairs, set up the tables for Saturday night meal, so too you shouldn't be able to like set up the, well, moving the chairs around, moving the tables around, so too moving my challah around. So shouldn't that be equally problematic? No. You're moving the challah not because you want to put the challah in a place where it's usable. You're moving the challah because you don't want it to be further freezified. Not because you want to move it somewhere else. You have no problem with it being there. For example, the proof of the pudding is if the freezer would break down right now, you're happy to leave it right there. And you'll take it out Matzah Yom Tov. So there's this brilliant svara that he's saying that when you take it out, you're just preventing the freezifying, this kirur, from further hitting this challah, and you don't want it anyway, so that you're permitted to just take it out, unsubject it, release it from this freezifying power that the freezer has.
Even though you're actually doing an action.
Yeah, it happens to involve an action, you're right.
It's not normal that the freezer doesn't stop.
Yeah, of course not, right. But he's just showing from that you have no problem with its physical, geographic location. You have no problem with that. It's not like I'm moving my tables around to set up for a meal. You just don't want the challah to be subject to this freezifying action. To the further activity that the freezer will subject it to. You don't want that.
So
I'm not preparing. I'm just taking it out. I'm not letting the freezer do more of its stuff. Do more of its magic. I just don't want to let the freezer do more of its magic. And I'll take it out, so the freezer won't be able to do its magic. What will happen? It ends up that it will thaw it out, but I didn't do anything.
So if you have a hot pot or something and you want to put the challah in so it gets warm.
You can't put a challah into a hot pot. That's going to be cooking for the next day. That's a whole difference.
It's just to warm it up or
but if you put a food into a kli rishon, that's called cooking in halacha. So that would be a problem. That would be more active.
Just to get it to 120 degrees.
But that's changing it. That's not the natural course of.
Bringing it outside when it's hot is fine also.
Meaning, if I have something that's too hot and I want to cool it down.
It's frozen, but I want to bring it outside a little faster.
Oh, I want to bring it. My house is a temperate 69 degrees. But I want to put in the sukkah where it's 85 degrees, so it's a little bit.
I have to think about that.
Either way, if you look at the end of this little quote, he concludes that Rav Shlomo Zalman ultimately did say that it was aser, even though it's a nice svara that we just went through. But ultimately, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's aser, and based on this chumra again, so there's this svara of Rav Shlomo Zalman to possibly be mekel, but in the end, he says that it's not. Indeed, it is not mutter, indeed it is aser, and that's what I said in shul, on Yom Tov, that it's aser to take food out of the freezer, and I gave Dr. Greenspan a mild ulcer. So I apologize for the ulcer. I apologize for that.
No problem. Does anyone else ask him that it is about?
Let's see what we could do tonight. Let's see what we could come up with. Let's look at a number of halachas that relate to hachana, and maybe we'll see a surprise that can relieve Dr. Greenspan of his ulcers. So there's a Mishnah in Shabbat in Masechta Sukkah, a very unusual Mishnah towards the end of the Masechta, that says on the seventh day of Sukkot, what are you allowed to do? Of course, the first few days of Sukkot, you're not allowed to take your Sukkah apart for no reason. Let's say you finish eating on Hashanah Rabbah. You have your lunch, your snack, Hashanah Rabbah afternoon. You're not allowed to untie your sukkah. You're not allowed to, you know, break down your sukkah. Lo yatir sukkaso. Aval, but you know what you're allowed to do? You're allowed to bring in some chairs. Aval morid es hakelim min hamincha lemayla. Why am I allowed to bring in some chairs on Hashanah Rabbi afternoon? Why can't I? When am I going to need them in the house? Let's talk about Eretz Yisrael, not here. Here I sit in the sukkah Shemini Atzeres. Some do, some don't. But in Eretz Yisrael, everybody sits in their house Shemini Atzeres. So what are they going to have to do when they come home from shul Shemini Atzeres night? Take all the chairs in from the sukkah. Take the table in from the sukkah back into their dining room. So that's going to be a big tircha, right? So says the Mishnah, don't worry, chill out. I will let you bring the chairs in Hoshana Rabbah late in the afternoon. Mipnei kvod yom tov ha'achron shel chag. I don't understand that. Why? Well, here it's Hoshana Rabbah, it's not really yom tov. Here we're letting you on Hoshana Rabbah take a little bit away from the kavod of the sukkah. Of course there's no Isser Malacha because it's Chol HaMoed, but at least I'm taking away from the kavod of the sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah because I want to allow some preparation for Shemini Atzeres. Okay, but that's still not our question. We're talking about on preparing from one day of Yontif to another day of Yontif. That was just from Hoshana Rabbah, which is Chol HaMoed for Yontif. So let's go all the way across the world, all the way to Hilchas Tchum Shabbos. Halacha of Tchum Shabbos is as follows. Let's say you want to go from here to, I don't know, Great Neck. I'm just making this up. I don't really know the halacha. Let's say you want to go from here to Great Neck, and it's more than Tchum Shabbos. No, Great Neck's too far. You want to go from here to
Lynbrook.
Oceanside. Okay, let's say I want to go from here to, I don't know, Oceanside. And it's outside the Tchum Shabbos, but it's within 4,000 amos away. Oceanside's too far. So of course I could put an Eir of Tchum in, right at the 1,999 amos mark, to give me an extra 2,000 amos. So that means if my house is here, and I want to walk 4,000 amos to the east, I could put my challah and tuna fish box Erev Shabbos, 2,000 amos, almost 2,000 amos to the east, and it will extend that's like my new kviyas, and I'll be able to go 2,000 additional amos to the east. So I'll have 4,000 amos to the east. What about the following scenario? He asks the Gemara in Erevin, what happens if it's Yontif, two-day Yontif? And on the first day of Yontif, I want to visit my aunt who lives 4,000 amos in the east. And on the second, then I'll come home. On the second day of Yontif, I want to visit my other aunt who lives 2,000 amos, 4,000 amos in the west. So between one aunt and the other aunt, how many amos are there?
8,000
amos. You're definitely not allowed to walk 8,000 amos. But if I'm situated in the middle, you can look at my hands. The Mishnah talks about how I could arrange, and you can only have one place where you settle. You settle wherever you put your matzah and your challah matzah and your tuna fish. That's like your new house. So if I live here, and I put my Erev Tchumen here, this is my new house for this day of Yontif, and I'll be able to walk over there. I can't at the same time set one house over here and another house over here, because I have to live in only one place. I can't live in two places. So the question is, how could I allow myself set this kvius to allow me to walk in the east, and then another, and then somehow set this, the west direction, also kvius, to allow me to walk there on the second day? How could you do that? So the Commissioner, the Gemara in Erevin, as Paskin in this Shulchan Aruch, in source number 7, Siman Tov Tes Zayin, Hilchos Erev Tchumen, says the following. You know what you could do? At the end, the first day of Yontif, you'll have to set up your Tchum Shabbos, your Erev Tchumen before Shabbos, before Yontif. For the second day of Yontif, you know what you have to do? Late in the day of the first day of Yontif, you come home, and then you walk all the way to the west as far as you're allowed to walk. And when you do, when you walk as far as you're allowed to walk, stay there for the entire Ben Hashmashos. And if you're going to be situated there for the entire Ben Hashmashos at the end of the first day of Yontif, that will be the place that is your designated place for your that will be your kviyas, your shvisa for the second day of Yontif, and you'll be able to walk 2,000 amas out to the west for the second day of Yontif. So what does that mean? That means that on the end of the first day of Yontif, what did you do? You walked somewhere For what purpose?
What about a bed?
Hold on, you don't need a bed. You walked somewhere. For what purpose? To enable you to have a greater flexibility of walking for the second day of Yontif. What did you do? You hachanad. You prepared in a certain sense. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, top of page 2. Iri baraglav b'rishon. Tzarech la'arev baraglav b'sheni. You have to take your feet and set yourself a new erev chatzeros, a new erev tchumen, I'm sorry, with your own feet on the second day. How? V'hu sheyelech v'yamod ba'oso makum. You have to go at the end of the first day to the new place, where the new direction you want to go, and stand there for a while, for Ben Hashemaz, v'yamod ba'oso makum, v'yachshu sham b'libo, and think in your heart that you want to hereby establish yourself in this new place, in the new direction. Sheyikne sham shvisa, v'lo yamar klom, but keep your mouth closed. Why do you have to keep your mouth closed? Because if you say, I am hereby establishing myself in this new place, in this new direction, saying it with your mouth, that's already too much of a hachana. So therefore you can't speak with your mouth. But hello, what did you do? You're not speaking with your mouth that you want to acquire new shvisa, but you already did walk there with your feet. So you did a little bit of hachana, but not a verbal hachana. You didn't do so far as a verbal hachana. So it's a little better than that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, commenting on that line in the Shulchan Aruch, this applies whether it's from Yontif to Shabbos, one day to the other day, you have this option. Now, what do you see from that case? Again, this is just the Shulchan Aruch paskening a Gemara and Erevin. What do you see from this Gemara and Erevin is something fascinating. This is a point that the Chai Adam picks up on. It sounds like, although you're not allowed to do a full hachana and actually verbalize that which I walked here to the new direction, I'm here by being Kona Shvisa and reestablishing a new location for myself to allow me to walk further in the new direction, the new west in the new direction, you're not allowed to do that far with your mouth, but to just walk there, that much you are allowed to do.
You are listening. Why? Isn't that a hachana also? Torah.com.
Is there any way of having a shaliach do some of these things for you?
If you send food, yes.
Well, somebody
the Mishnah in Erevin says, but if it's going to be a matter of planting your body somewhere, you're going to have to do it yourself. The Mishnah talks about sending food with a shliach, I think. But here we're talking about you're not going to send food with a shliach because
you're established in the other place.
You're established in the other place. It's just your body being in a certain place as the new day is about to begin. That's going to be what we're cashing in on. So now, Arbosai, I want to get to the punchline. And this is a Chai Adam, and I want to thank Rabbi Abba Novak, who referred me to Tshuva Rav Belsky, which we'll see on the next page, who quotes this Chai Adam. And based on this Chai Adam, is going to take issue with the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And this Chai Adam is talking about something a little bit different. He's talking about when you bring in, you remember we mentioned that you're allowed to bring in the kelim from the sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah in the afternoon, even though sukkah is still sukkah. So why are you taking stuff in from the sukkah? And it said, "Mepnei kvod yom tov acharon." So in galus, we would have that same heter on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. On Shmini Atzeres, after you have your last, let's say we all eat in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. After you have your last meal of Shmini Atzeres in the sukkah, you're permitted to, on Shmini Atzeres, not just Hashanah Rabbah, even Shmini Atzeres, in the afternoon, take your stuff into the house. Says the Chai Adam, v'Shmini Samach L'Chashecha, the end of Shmini Atzeres, right before Simchas Torah, Motu Lefanos Bayom, you're allowed to, while it's still daytime, Shmini Atzeres, you're allowed to clear out from the sukkah and bring things into your house. As long as, look at this key line, it sounds innocuous, but it's really important. Uvilvad shalo yisadrim ad halayla. Do you know the difference between bringing the chairs and the tables in from your sukkah and actually setting them up in your house? You're not allowed to put them all around your kitchen or dining room table in your house. You're not allowed to put the table together in your house and set the arrangement up for Simchas Torah meal. You're just allowed to bring them into the house. Dim yisadrim b'yom, if you actually set them up, arrange them on the during the Shmini Atzeres day, have a kamechen miyom to the chaver, you're setting up on Shmini Atzeres for Simchas Torah for the next night. That's not okay. And therefore, if it's a table that you have to like dismantle or fold and unfold, Im lachenim shulchan shel prakim. If it's a table that has pieces, like we have fold up tables in our sukkahs, lo yaniach hatav al haraglaim. You can't put the pieces together in the sukkah, from the sukkah into your house and put it together in your house. Dikashet. Look at these lines. These words are the punchline. Dikashet gomer ezed davar. When you finish off something for the next day, that's hachana. Aval hava lebeisa. But if you just bring it into your house, lo heve hachana. In these words, the Chai Adam just shared with us a pearl, a diamond. It's still in the rough. We'll have to polish it a little bit, but this is a diamond. What is the Chai Adam saying? The Chai Adam says, if you do something basic that is only like a haschala or a beginning, but not a full preparation, that's not going to be called a hachana. Bringing the chairs into your house, that's not a hachana. Setting them around the table is hachana. On Shmini Atzeres, you can bring the table, fold it up in the sukkah, bring it into your house.
Now that the table's in the house, on Sukkot Torah itself, you can open up the table.
That's right.
And sit around.
Correct. 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 Where does he get this idea from, that it's only considered hachon when you're only going to be gomer ezed davar, but just doing a little bit of it, or a part of it, or the beginning of it, that's not considered hachana? Where did he get that from? Rabosai, he got it from that Gemara in Erevin that we just quoted a few lines ago. That Shulchan Aruch that we were quoting for the Gemara in Erevin, where you, from one day of Yontif to a second day of Yontif, when you wanted to get yourself a new direction for your Erev Chatzeros, what did you do? Erev Tchumen. We allowed you to do part of a hachana. We allowed you to walk to where you want to go in the new direction. Maybe not to say, I am here by Kona Shavisa, I hereby establish myself for the second day. That far you're not going to do. But to walk to that new place, a little, which is the beginnings of the preparation, that is permitted. That, says Rabbi Kivyeger, is my source. While you're allowed to, the fact that you're allowed to walk there on the first day of Yontif for the purpose of the second day of Yontif, that's my source, that you're allowed to do a little bit of hachan if it's not a full bona fide preparation. Similar idea, yes. Things are, only when it's a full thing, that's the problem of hachana. So I think in halacha of Erevin you are supposed to verbalize it, but therefore you have to wait to verbalize, maybe you have to wait till this new day. I don't know Erevin well enough to answer that question. Says the Chai Adam, I'll bring you another proof. Another proof from a stira in the halachas that we find. Both are quoted for the Maharil. V'chein 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 Maharil, Shevi HaMagen Avram. The Magen Avram quotes two Maharils, and they seem to be contradictory. Because in one place, we mentioned this, Mutar l'havi ha'shulchanos l'bayis. You're allowed to bring the tables into the house, you're just not allowed to arrange them on Shmini Atzeres, set them up on Shmini Atzeres. On the other hand, what the same Maharil says, that the Gabai, right? Let's say it's Yantif Rishon, could the Gabai roll the Sefer Torah to get to the right place? For example, Shmini Atzeres that we just finished, the Delaney for Shmini Atzeres was, I don't know, Parshas Emor maybe? And he knows that tonight they're going to be laning from Brachos. So instead of keeping the whole tzibur waiting for 10 minutes, rolling all the way from, Emor, all the way back to Brachos, let's do it on Shmini Atzeres, save time. Are you allowed to roll the Torah on the first day of Yontif in preparation for the second day of Yontif? Says Maharil, absolutely not. But wait a second. That same Maharil says you are allowed to bring in your chairs and your table from the sukkah to the house on the first day of Yontif. So if we're talking about first day of Yontif to second day of Yontif, Shmini Atzeres in preparation for Simchas Torah. How come you're not allowed to roll the Torah on Shmini Atzeres for Simchas Torah, but you are permitted to bring in the chairs on Shmini Atzeres for Simchas Torah? Same Maharil says two opposite psakim. That's the question of the Chai Adam. Says the Chai Adam, must be last four words, El Al Karchach, as I just distinguished, that there's a difference between a full preparation and a pseudo preparation, a mild preparation, a half a preparation, a partial preparation. What? Yeah, I don't want to say hechsher because it's like not full. It doesn't provide the full. What you did didn't do finish the job up. If you rolled all the way to Brachos, you did what you needed to do. If you just brought the chairs and you didn't set them up, you didn't do what you didn't prepare for the Friday night the meal. Let's think about this, Rabosai. Let's try now to apply this to our case. When you take something out of the freezer on the first day, what happens when you take that challah? Or that that roast from the freezer on the first day. What are you doing?
Starting the preparation.
What happens when you take it out of the freezer? I take it out of the freezer and I put it on the table. What happens as I put it on the table?
Not much.
Not much. You started a process that will take about 3 hours. You know what that's like? That's exactly like, maybe it's even less, than taking the chairs in from the sukkah. You could argue and say, but if you take the chairs in from the sukkah, they don't, after like a few minutes, start jumping up and down, dancing around the table and sitting themselves in the right spot. You have to move them around. Here, the thawing out will happen by itself. Okay, but that's one proof that the Chayyim brings.
Isn't that by itself, though? It's not the Yadayim, it's not the Shemayim.
Right.
So much they came with the chairs, once you get them inside, you still have to do the Yadayim to get into that place.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a little bit of now. It should be more usher by the challah.
Because
it's a natural process that ultimately will enable the challah to be used, as opposed to the chairs. You bring them in, they're going to stay where you put them. They're not going to prepare themselves.
An esrog that's on Shemini to Tishi, it becomes mutter, you know, Tashmot, because it becomes no longer.
Right, but that's, I don't want to get into the Miga this Katsai. That's okay.
Does it make a difference if it will get warmer on the same day you took it out, or will it get warmer possibly from the next month?
Well, if it gets warmer on the same day you're taking it out, that's what we're talking about. Even then, it would be mutter.
No, I mean, it might not be finalized until later.
No, even if it would be finalized later, but the act that you're doing didn't finalize it, and therefore the Chayadam says that's not called Hachana. Hachana is only, look at the line that I underlined. The Kishigomer is a davar, that's Havi Hachana. When you finish something, when my act finishes a process, that's the Isra Hachana. Remember, Hachana is only an Isra Drabanan. What are the parameters of this Isra Drabanan? When I do an act today to prepare for tomorrow, in a way that is finishing what needs to be done. Let's see another source. The Chayyadim also references this, but there's a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Mem and Amarah, the very end of the Gemara in Beitza. There it talks about the following. Let's say you have guests on the first day of Yontif. The guests live 4,000 amas to you. So what did they have to do in order to come to you for their lunch on the first day of Yontif? Let's say they live in Oceanside. I know the numbers don't really work. Let's say they live in Oceanside. They're having lunch by you on the first day of Yontif. So they had to set up an Erev Tchumen. They come to your house with the Erev Tchumen that they set up before Shabbos, before Yontif. And they'll come eat lunch in your house. Now they want to go home, but you know what? They loved your wife's brisket. Your wife had a brisket with a sweet honey sauce. And oh my gosh, they couldn't get enough of it. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to take home a doggy bag. But where are they taking the doggy bag? They're taking the doggy bag of brisket that belonged to somebody whose shvisa, whose situation was in Lawrence, and they have to bring it back to Oceanside. So says the Gemara there, if you want to take a doggy bag out of the tchum, it's a problem of tchum. Look at what Rashi says. Lo yolichu la'achar su'uda manos piyad l'vesel l'su'uda slayli. You can't take back after lunch a meal for dinner because it's out of the tchum. Wait a second. Why should it be also to take it out from lunch to dinner? Forget the fact that it's out of the tchum. It should be also because it's hachana from lunch to dinner. That's the problem. I don't care if it's in the tchum or not. Why is the Gemara only saying that there's a problem of tchum? You're carrying foods that were in one tchum to a different tchum. It should be much more fundamentally asr. You're carrying foods for the next night. Says the Chayyadim, you see the same point. Just carrying food from one place to another place is not really a full preparation of anything. It's bringing it from here to there, but it still has to be put out on a plate, it still has to be served, it still has to be heated up. The only problem that this Gemara is saying is the tchum issue. You see another case that the Chayyadim is trying to prove is that if I would just be carrying something from here to there in a doggy bag, that would not be considered hachana. Let me just apply one incredible application. Forget the complicated case. You go somewhere, you come to the Kiddush on the first day of Yontif, and there's potato kugel that's delicious, and there's 10 pieces of potato kugel left. You say, why should they throw out the potato kugel? Let me take it home so I can serve it when? tonight at my night meal on Simchas Torah, the next day. According to this, no Tchum Shabbos. I live in the 833. I live on Herrick. I live on in Sutton Park. I live on wherever I live, on Hard's Lane. So what could I do? I could take a doggy bag, preparing for my night meal. Why? Because that's not a real preparation. I still have to take it home. When I get home, I'm going to have to put it out on a plate. I'm going to have to warm it up. I'm going to have to serve it. So what did I do by bringing it home? A medium hachana, a partial hachana. And that is going to be mutter. Finally, let's see. So I don't think we have to see so the one who makes this application, this Chai Adam that I just shared with you, who applies it to our very question of the refrigerator taking something frozen out of the freezer, a challah out of the freezer, is the source number 14, Rabbi Belsky, and his Shailos HaTshuva Shulchan Aleihu, which Rabbi Novak kindly showed me, and was the impetus for me to give this shiur. He brings this exact Chai Adam to relate to our question of the freezer. You're taking something out of the freezer, what are you doing? You're doing a partial hachana. You take it out of the freezer, that doesn't make it ready to eat right this second. That doesn't make the food completely ready, just it begins the process of it thawing out, so it will be ready. That's a partial hachana, and that's not the parameter of the hachana that Chazal asserted. That's what the Chai Adam is trying to show us from these sources, from Erevin where you're allowed to do a little bit, from the Gemara where you're allowed to carry the tables into the house from the sukkah, which is only a little bit of hachana. Third proof from this Gemara in Beitza, where you're carrying your doggy bag home. These are only partial hachanas. And therefore, that's not called hachana that the Chazal asked. And therefore, it will be mutter. That's what in source number 14, you can look at it yourself. I underline the main points. Look at the second underlined point. Mevuar, on the third line of Shulchan Halevi, page 138. Mevuar shehachana atzma nechsheves kmo melacha. In the fourth line. Avalim ose davar shra goreim. You're only causing the situation. Machmas ze yiyakel lav lamachar. You're not preparing for tomorrow. You're just making it easier when tomorrow will come about. V'rak az tigmar hachanasam. Only tomorrow you'll be able to finish it up. That's going to be mutter. And therefore, when you take out in the last line, which I underlined, when you take that frozen item, Dr. Greenspan, out of the freezer on the first day of Yontif, it's not fully prepared. It still has to thaw out. So what you did was not a gemar malacha, was not a gemar preparation. It still needs to be thawed and warmed up and fully prepared. Therefore, it will not be in the parameters of, you'll say, is it hachana? Of course it's hachana. But it's not the hachana that Chazal asserted. When they said, don't do hachana, they said, don't do hachana, that would be a final conclusion, conclusive maisa of preparation. But just an act that, you're right, I'm only doing it to prepare for tomorrow, that's true, but it's not a full act. It's not a gemar, and therefore it would be mutter. With this in mind, the Orchas Shabbos, which is a very contemporary sefer, just came out of 3 or 4 years ago, comes up with another kula, which comes up all the time, and Imamish always thought of this. First day of Yontif, you look in the fridge and you're looking for something to drink. First day of Yontif in the afternoon. And you realize you have no cold drinks in the fridge. And you're like, oh my gosh, tonight's going to be Simchas Torah. I'm going to come back schwitzing. I'm going to want to drink a ton. And I have no cold drinks. No ice in the ice bucket and the ice maker. And I have no cold drinks in the fridge. I'm going to have to drink tepid water. And no one likes tepid soda. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. So says the Orchas Shabbos, wait a second, according to this lamdas, what should come out? On the first day, what should I, yes, be permitted to do? According to this lamdas, what happens when I take a soda bottle and I put it in the, and I do a maisa called putting it in the fridge on the first day of Yontif in the afternoon? What did I just do? Nothing. You started a process maybe, and in 2 hours, the soda, the seltzer, the orange juice that you put in the fridge, the Coke that you put in the fridge, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, on the first day of Yontif, what's going to happen now? It's going to start getting colder. Is that a Gemar Melacha? I didn't do a Gemar Melacha. Yeah, at some point, something will get cold. But what I did, the mice that I did, was a mice hachon that was not a Gemar Melacha. And therefore... What?
It is Gemar, because you can drink it right now.
I could drink it right now before I put it in the fridge. The point is that making it cold is the hachana. But putting it in the fridge so that it could be cold is the hachana. In the same way, taking it out of the freezer so it could thaw out over the next few hours is a partial hachana. My taking it out is just a partial hachana. It still has to thaw out. So my doing an act of putting it in the fridge can't be considered a full hachana because it now still needs a few hours to cool off. So my act of putting it in the fridge did not make it ready. When I take a warm soda and put it in the fridge, is it now ready to drink?
No. It's ready to drink, not the way you want it.
No, but I'm saying, did I change anything? Did I do a hachana? I made it to what I wanted to do. I want to get a cold soda. Put it in the fridge. Now it's red. Now it's a cold soda.
What if you put it in an ice water bath? And that's much better.
That happens immediately. Maybe that would be a problem. If it really happens immediately. If it takes 20 minutes, no. But if it takes 2 minutes, maybe that would be a problem. Yeah, maybe if there's some freeze, liquid nitrogen, you drop it in a cylinder of liquid nitrogen and it gets it, you know, at zero Kelvin in moments. Okay, we could talk about that. Fine. That is the kula of the Chaye Adam, that you can take something out of the freezer because you're not doing a full mice. So that is the kula of the Rosh Hashanah. It's even about putting stuff in the fridge. Tremendous kula, great kula. I never knew this. Thank you, Dr. Rabbi Novak, for encouraging me to investigate. And we will find that the Shulchan, the Mishnah Brura, quotes this Chaye Adam, Halacha L'maaseh. We mean, in other words, we actually paskin like this Chaye Adam. Look on top of the page in source number 12, it's the Mishnah Brura. You'll see, however, three limitations that the Mishnah Brura limits this leniency with. Asal havi yayin miyantif l'chaver. You can't bring yayin on the first day of yantif for the second. If you're going to somebody visiting them for yantif, and you're going to come into his house on the first day, you can't bring wine for him to drink on the second day. However, look at what I'm like. If it's shasat chak, shelo yimtza belayla bekal, you're not going to be able to do it easily Saturday, you know, the next night, when the day of yantif, you actually want to use it. Mutul havi yayin, etc. As long as you should try, he now is good. So number one, he says you should do this b'shas hadchak. Secondly, you should do it b'od hayom gadol to lo muchach milsa de'esha de'tzorach adayin le'tzorach hayom. Meaning, if let's say you bring it over at 6:42 on the end of the Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah starts like 6:49, it's clear that what you were doing was only for, you know, the next day. So that's, again, the lumdus might work, but he says that's a little too obvious. You don't want to have that. Thirdly, he says something that's very important. This leniency that we've been outlining of doing only a half a malacha, so it's not a gemar, and you only rely on it if it's a shas hadchak, it's only if you're doing it for what? If it's for a dvar mitzvah. It's for your yontif meal tonight, for example. Not just because you want to, you know, go to the ball game tonight and you need to get your sneakers to the right place or some other funny example like that. Davka, underline, third underlining, davka l'tzorach mitzvah mutter. So therefore, the Mishnah Brura is passing like this Chaye Adam, and I think if you have a Mishnah Chaye Adam and the Mishnah Brura paskins like it, I think we have, and we saw there, I think, very strong sources in three different sources. The case of Erevin, of walking far on the first day for the second day. The case where you're allowed to bring your tables in and your chairs in as long as you don't set them up. And the case in Beitza where, what was that third proof? The third proof from Beitza that you're allowed to have, you know, if it's now Tchumish, you're allowed to bring a doggy bag of food home for the first day so you have, because you love the brisket, so you could have some brisket for dinner tonight. Those are three rayas from Shas that allow hachana, if it's a mini hachana, that's not gomer the malacha. And I think that Chaye Adam, which is passed by the Mishnah Brura, is able to be relied upon. And what's the issue that we're discussing about taking something out of the freezer on the first day? Nisa Drabanan in the first place. So we're talking about Nisa Drabanan, the Chaye Adam, which is passed by the Mishnah Brura, with three strong sources from Shas, permitted. So I think, Litzorach Mitzvah, if it's Shas Avchak and you need to do it, I think we certainly can rely on these poskim, and I think therefore it would be mutter halach l'maisa. I hereby officially rescind my iser from the announcement that I made the first night of Yontif. Thank you for those who brought this about, and I think based on these sources, it would be mutter to take food out from the freezer on the first day of Yontif. Yeah.
After what you said, this question came to me. What if you have, like, on a regular basis, you have a meal middle of the night because you just like to eat?
You're one of these guys who like a midnight barbecue, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So you had your Sudas Mitzvah, Simchas Torah, Leil Simchas Torah.
And you want to have
two in the morning, I don't know if there are any, whatever.
So is that called a mitzvah?
It's not a mitzvah. You're not doing it for a mitzvah.
I don't know if that would be Shas Adchak or not. If the Mishnah is saying you can only rely on this if it's a Shas Adchak, Litzorach Mitzvah, you just happen to like having, you know, Kugla, two in the morning. I'm not sure if that would be enough.
If you're in the market, it would also be another Kugla.
If you have a hachana of a guy, so this is a whole different shiloh, which is a whole different shir. You know where this shiloh comes up? Your shiloh comes up? Your shiloh comes up, I mentioned it once, on yontif in a hotel. You want to get out of that hotel the second yontif is over. You know why? Because if you wait 20 minutes to pack up, say after the yontif, there are going to be 70 other Jews going to the reception desk. And you're going to have to wait 2 hours till you get your car from the parking lot to get there. So, and they'll charge. So you know what you want to do? You want to have your guy, your maid who's traveling with you, right? The babysitter. Pack up your bag and bring it down to the reception desk so that the second it's safe, you check out. So she did a hachana. Could you ask a guy to do a hachana? That's machlokes haposkim, and my masorah is that it's not a good thing to do.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.